Blog Talk Radio.
Well, this is Blog Talk Radio. This is the 3rd of July, 2020. And tomorrow is the 4th, the celebration of America's independence. And that's been a while ago, 1776, huh? Is it what you say? Would you say that? Yeah. Let me see if I can get Julian to talk about some of this stuff. So much is happening these days. The news is too much, huh? War all over the place, I would say. A lot going on. It's hard to keep up with all of it. But let's see if she has a comment or two on what's going on, what's to be transpired. The limits of tyrants are prescribed by the endurance.
Hello?
Hi, I'm sorry I missed your call today. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
All right, so what's been going on in the world?
Oh, what hasn't been going on? Everything, I think.
I think they haven't missed a stroke. Everything is going on. There's so much going on. All the marches, not only here in the United States, but they're marching all throughout the world. How did that happen?
It's an insanity. It really is an insanity. I think that people have lost their minds. They're not thinking. You know, if only they would just stop and see what they're doing. They're destroying us. All these marches, and I don't care what cause they're marching for, because it's all equally bad, in my opinion. I don't think there's anything good that you can protest about in the sense of doing public damage, harming people, shouting bigotry, it's all harmful.
All right. Let's take all those pieces out. But don't you think, based on I'm going to be kind if I say, based on what people are saying, are the suppression of black people by the police department, by white society, the institutional covert processes of racism and exploitation, that has been going on for a number of years. Would you say yes or no? You disagree?
Yes, absolutely, Tess.
Okay, so how do you stop
just
that?
Just a second, please.
Right.
Okay, now can you hear me?
Yes, loud and clear.
Now, yes, good.
Listen. You look, there are a lot of people in the streets, not only here in America, but throughout the world. Something has brought them together. I'm not talking about they drinking something from Jim Jones, you know, the Kool-Aid. They are upset about something. And don't you think there's some legitimacy in terms of the alienation and being alienated and ostracized and oppressed in various and sundry ways? Don't you think that's legitimate?
Yes, I do.
Okay. How do
I certainly do.
Okay. How do we address that? It's been going on for 400 or 500 years, at least here in America. Maybe longer.
It's been going on for a very long time, right?
Okay.
My question that I would put to all the people who are protesting is, have they ever stopped to think? What I would want to say on this to the world in general right now is stop. Just stop. Because what is going on is doing nobody any good. It is not resolving the issues. Violence was never the answer to resolving issues. And I don't believe that the human race on this planet has really thought about what is really going on here. Because from my perspective, what is going on is constant external influences. And by external, I mean external to the individual, right? Like governments, group leaders, gurus, swamis, theatricals, you know, people with a cause, whatever, right? Mm-hmm. Outside influences stirring up trouble and causing them to do all this constant friction and rebellion. And it's all the way from you know, throwing bricks through shop windows to declaring war on another country. It's across the whole gamut of violence. And I don't think that people have ever stopped to think, why are we doing this? It goes way beyond injustice. We can all see injustice and we can all complain about it and say, well, this isn't right, we need to fix it. Like, you know, slavery wasn't right, so they banned slavery, right? You can work through these situations and hang on a minute and resolve them. I think that they are missing the big picture, and it's terrifying to me, because I believe what is happening today on this planet for the human race is that they are being interfered with on a massive scale, an unimaginable scale, psychologically conditioned to be in rebellion and dividing every single person against every other person they possibly can. Because what happens? You divide and you conquer. And I believe that this is external influence, and I believe it has an extraterrestrial application to this. I don't think it's all just on this planet. I think there is interference extraterrestrially with the people to divide them and fragment them and so focus them on their one fight or another fight that they are not being prepared to maintain their own planet. Now, this planet, planet Earth, belongs to, exclusively belongs to, all those beings who are born on this planet. We are all, I don't care, black, white, yellow, green, I don't care what color we are, what religion, what language you speak. If we are born on this planet, we are citizens of Earth, and the planet belongs to us. It belongs to each and every one of us. It does not belong to a group of extraterrestrials who are pretending maybe to be good guys and nice guys and doing everything they can to divide us into small, fighting, disagreeable little groups of people all over the planet, fragmented to pieces, so we can't see that we're actually getting taken over by outside sources. And I really think that's what's going on. So I, on those grounds, I object strongly to all this rioting and violence and protesting. Right. Not because there aren't issues that need resolving, they do, but because people, I think, are not understanding what's going on, and they'll pay for it. They will pay for it.
In what form?
Because they are so weak, they will turn around one day. You're already seeing, with this COVID-19 plus all the other stuff, you're already seeing all our individual rights taken away, one by one by one. Ever since Patriot Act 2 came in, our individual rights have gone by the board. We now no longer have a Bill of Rights in effect. Since Patriot Act 2 was reinstated. So we have no rights anymore at the most basic level. And whatever we think we have a right to, food, water, air, the right to live, the right to breathe, that is also getting eroded. I mean, look at what's happening with these viruses that are coming out. It's getting rid of the old people and the young people. Now look at what the policies are for the extreme left wing, which we have in government now, trying to take over our government this fall. Look at their extreme policies of socialism, which will take away the last of our rights. They don't mention that in paying for free medicine, they're going to take away things like Social Security. But these things are built in there. These things are already hidden in little extra clauses and amendments. It's like the Obamacare bill, you know, it was passed through Congress and nobody had actually read it. That, what's that woman's name, Pelosi? She stood up when Obama was in and said, we need to pass this and then you can read it. Right? That's okay, the state. That's what she said, right? We need to pass it and then you can read it, right? That's exactly what happened. And look what we got stuck with. And what's coming down is much, much worse. So instead of busying their time joining groups, waving posters and banners and burning things and creating riots, wouldn't it be nice if this 4th of July we could all get together and we might remember that we, in America especially, we have a thing called the Constitution. And that American Constitution is considered by many, not just on the planet, but off the planet as well, as being the greatest document ever written for the government of people. And
okay,
we need to get
that.
Back to it.
All right, let me say this, that the Constitution didn't really involve the rights of people of color, especially black people. So even the Supreme Court, 1957, says the black man is not a whole man. He's three-fourths of a man. And then the Supreme Court in 1896 said, in essence, that you can have separate and equal facilities, but there should be a dividing line between the races. Now, this is the Supreme Court of the land.
Right, right.
So
that's got nothing to do with the Constitution. First, Russ, the Constitution does not differentiate between races. It doesn't. That's the first thing. The Constitution was originally thought up by the powers that be for religious reasons, not for racial reasons. The idea that one came to a free country and would have freedom of religion and have it separate from the state. You know, no state control. It wouldn't be a state religion. This was the foundation, and that still stands. There's nothing in the Constitution I've ever read that differentiates between the races. Now, what you are saying about the Supreme Court, yes, that's quite true. They did differentiate. And at the beginning, when the Constitution was written, slavery was still in force in this country. And in fact, the first president owned slaves. So we hadn't, at that point, socially dealt with those issues of could you in fact own another human being? And we all agreed over a period of 100 years or more, no, you couldn't. That's not right. Right. And we are still dealing with those issues. But those issues are social issues reflecting the morals of the country, the standards of the mores of that level of development, level of civilization. And quite frankly, America is not what I would call a highly civilized country. I mean, it really isn't, because there are certain things which constitute civilization. One of them is you take care of the sick. The other is that you educate the young. These are basic tenets of civilization. And when you don't have those things, and in the same way, you treat all your citizens equally, not just under the law, but socially as well. And I agree with you that not everybody is treated equally in this country. But I don't think that rioting and fighting about it is the answer.
Right. Okay, listen, let's put aside the rioting, the breaking of windows, the rioting or burning or whatever, or looting, whatever. But aside from that, not 90% of the people in the streets are not doing that. There's a segment of people who taken advantage of the situation of marching and people protesting,
right,
and being in the streets, who are doing that. But though that's a fringe element, okay? But the majority of the people are not just looting and burning and destroying things. Not the majority of the people that I see in this country and throughout the world who are in the streets. They are saying that there's some inequities in the system dealing with the rights of black people, particularly, that are egregious situation that needs to be rectified. That's what they're saying. You know.
Well, I don't know how it's happened, Russ, and I don't want to offend anybody.
Right.
But I have now discovered that every time I open up my computer, the first thing that comes up of access to the internet is Black Lives Matter. And I resent that because I believe all lives matter. I believe yellow, Japanese-colored people are equal. I believe Polynesian people are equal. I believe Chinese people. I don't see why we have to have this huge movement. But it's not only reflected in that, because the young women came out with that hashtag me thing. Me, 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 me. What happened to service? What happened to consideration of other people? At least when they go out doing all these protests, they're not really thinking about other people. They're getting their 15 minutes of fame on television, or they're venting their anger. The anger is unbelievable. And what I'm saying is that we need to stop being so angry with each other. And if we want to have angry energy, we need to have it against those who are taking over our lives and our planet.
Okay.
And nobody's talking about that.
Okay. Listen, I think you're missing just a little bit of what's really happening here. In Black America, they've been raped, pillaged, beaten, hanged, destroyed, and not given fair access to economic, political, and social privileges in terms of jobs, in terms of livelihood, in terms of the way they live. It's been a concerted effort to put them down and keep them down. There are many books that talk about that, many discussions. Martin Luther King even talked about that, that people are saying that Black men are being murdered by the policemen. There are more Black people in jails in America than they are anywhere else in the world. I mean, I don't want to go on and on with the overt and covert racism at this point on this discussion, but I think that you're missing what's been happening to people of color who have been denied access to their rights in America because of racism and the insistence on white supremacy that we are in charge and you are to be our foot soldiers, if you will. And I may say this, you probably may take issues with this, much like when the Anunnaki came and they modified the human being so that they could be subservient to them, I thought that was another egregious act that was imposed upon human beings, as whites are doing human beings for the last 400 years in this country. A lot of people are talking about that, and that's what the fight is about. That's what the true protest is about being used and misused and abused in terms of being raped, murdered, and pillaged, if you do, of the communities. That's the whole issue. But maybe we may leave that alone and let that for another discussion. But you were saying, which I'm really interested in, that the people off-planet, some of the people, Dracos, whomever, off-planet are causing this ruckus, if you will, for lack of a better word.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Why would they do that, and who are we talking about?
Okay. We're talking about the draconian reptilians, right? Only the draconians. There are many different varieties of reptilians. The draconians have always had an interest in wanting this planet. They have always traded information with any existing government, ever since man had government of their own on this planet. I want to say, ever since the Anunnaki left, the draconians stepped in and started feeding technological information to existing governments worldwide, right, in exchange for their own influence, whatever. They have their own agenda, right? But more than that, I've been doing a little reading and research myself on areas with which I knew about them, but I didn't have any, in-depth knowledge about the subject matter. So I've been doing some reading up myself this last few weeks.
Okay.
You remember a program after World War II called Paperclip?
Of course.
Yes, exactly. When all the scientists were brought over from Germany. Now, we all knew that. I mean, I grew up in World War II, so I remember reading about it in the papers and things. So for me,
people don't know Paperclip. They don't know Project Blue Book. They don't know any of this.
I know. Well, we're telling them right now. Okay.
Good.
After World War II, the Russians and the Americans went into Germany and they brought out, both countries, hundreds, if not thousands, of German scientists because the Germans were so advanced technologically. And there has long been the belief that senior members of the Nazi Party, along with hundreds of their people and much of their technological knowledge, escaped Germany before the war ended and went to Argentina, Brazil, and eventually down, as far as I know, under Antarctica, right, in the cavernous system, which I know has been a draconian base for a very long time. I know the draconian reptilians have been under Antarctica. And I understand from recent readings that that's also where many of the Nazi party went. Now, we think that that doesn't have anything to do with what's happening in our world today. But it was brought to my attention through just going online and doing some research and checking out a few names that almost every industry, major industry in the United States, has in a power position, a controlling position, an appointee, a descendant of, or themselves, members of the German Nazi Party, running our industrial, military-industrial complex today. That's what's happening today. And
sure.
part of my clairvoyant information years and years ago about this period in human history was that after World War II, the powers that be would have two goals: to get the guns from American citizens, because so long as the citizenry was armed, they couldn't be controlled, and to bankrupt the American middle class. Those were the two goals, and it was estimated then by the nasty powers that be that it would take them 50 years to do it. Well, it's taken them, 70 years, and we're almost at that point. If we get liberal governments and they get gun control, you can say that's the end of the United States as it was intended to be. It can never recover from that, because that's the final takeover, which will allow them to bring in one world government. And that's been the goal since World War II. And the President Eisenhower, who was the post-war president, right, wartime post, immediate post-war, he signed, and I remember this being discussed at the time in my house as a child, when my parents would and my father and his brothers were discussing these things, that this was discussed at the time, but I don't think anybody knew the depth of it. But Eisenhower actually made a deal with these people to allow these things to transpire. And so now what we have to do is destroy the strength of the population. If we're the bad guys and we want to bring this to a conclusion and get absolute control over the population and have one world government and be able to tell them everything to do, right? We have to do one more thing. We have to finish destroying the American population. And how are we going to do it? Well, we're going to do it by dividing them on every issue we can think of. And they've gone through every issue they could think of. They went through cigarette smoking. They went through abortion rules. Now the big thing, they even had an anti-Semitism thing. Well, now it's blacks against whites, or people of color against people of without color, if you like. And so this is the big effort, the big push to destroy us. Because what will it allow if all these riots and upsets carry on? What will it allow? It will allow the government to bring in martial law. And once you have martial law, right, then the president is no longer beholden to Congress. He can put the rules out and do what he likes, because he is head of the military. He's in charge of the military. So you put martial law out. The military is in control of the country, and whoever is the president is in control of the military. This should be scaring everybody to death. It should be enough to say, whoa, I'm not going to get into these protests. I'm not going to involve, because if I do, I will bring martial law down, and that will be the end of my freedom. So this is about everybody's freedom, not just about people of color or whatever their origin, whatever their nationality. And by the way, let us remember that the biggest minority now is the white minority. I'm white originally. I've got a good suntan now, thank goodness. But I'm a white, what classifies as a white Caucasian person. And I'm a minority in this country. So my rights are flying out the door. And every time I hear about another protest, I think that's another excuse, because the bad guys who are trying to take our planet away from us are the ones who are stirring us up through the media, through every means possible, to make us hate one another for any reason. I am not saying that these iniquities are right. They are definitely not right, and they need sorting. But I am warning that we are heading for worse trouble than anybody can imagine, and what it will end up with is all of us losing our freedom. All of us.
So
yeah, they... Yeah, go on. Sorry.
No, so Operation Paperclip is in play then?
Absolutely. Yes, and that is true. That
now,
is true.
Okay. You did say that the brilliant scientists and German the Germans that they brought over, who are now in many power, in a lot of situations of power,
right?
And they are in control of things, as we. And I think they talk about Dulles was part of that movement to bring him out. I think
when he was the Secretary of State,
Right. So he was also a member of MJ 12, was he not? Majestic 12, Dulles.
I believe so. Yes.
Okay. So how do you see things? See, so the Dracos got a firm hand on this, and look like they got a good grip, a grasp on this thing, right?
Right.
So how would this pan out? I mean, I'm stumbling here.
Trouble for everybody. We're worried about individual things, how things individually affect us. But I'm playing the role here and prophesying, right? And what I am prophesying is that we are going to, if we continue the way we are going to end up with almost the equivalent of a new civil war come the end of the year, and martial law being brought in, and the total loss of our freedom, and the establishment of what effectively is the Third or Fourth Reich, the German Nazi Party, because it's their agenda. It's their agenda that is being followed. The agenda set up. It's the Nazi Party of Germany's idea that you should have a superior Aryan race. It's not normal people like me. I don't think white people are superior by any means. That's never been my view, right? And neither is it the view of anybody I know, any of my friends. I don't know anybody who holds these antagonistic views towards people of color. I honestly don't. And I came from England, and I don't, which was always a multiracial society. And I was born at the end of, you know, the old British Empire, when we had all the colonies and things going. And I never remember hearing a disrespectful, I'm not saying that bad things don't go on, because individuals do bad things, right? And unpleasant things. But as a generalization, I never heard anything even disrespectful said about anybody in any of our colonies. And my entire working life has been spent more with people of color of all nationalities, Indians, Polynesians, Indonesians, Chinese, Germans even. The only ones I didn't get on with, quite frankly, were some of the so-called white people. And then I had some difficulty with some of them. But I believe that this is being made a whole lot worse. Do I think that the policeman who shot that gentleman, based on what we see on the video, I think that they are right to charge him with murder, that what he did was a murderous act. And, you know, I look at it this way. Somebody explained to me years ago, if you are a professional boxer, you have boxed professionally, and you get in a bar fight and you punch somebody, they fall down dead, right? You know, they fall and something's
sure.
damaged and they die.
Sure.
Then that, if you have been a boxer, that is automatically considered to be murder, right?
Right.
Because
right.
you were professionally trained to use your hands. Whereas if it had been just two guys getting in a fight, and it would have been manslaughter, right?
Right.
There's this
right.
huge difference. Well, I think it's the same way. The police are trained, and I'm very supportive of our police force, and I think most of them are wonderful, right? I still would ask a policeman what time is it, please, and which way do I go, right? So I think most of our police are pretty wonderful. But I'm sure in some of these inner city areas where there's massive overcrowding and social problems, I dare say they have a hard time. But no matter how hard they are doing that, it is to do their job, they still don't have the right to injure citizens. Right?
Okay.
I don't. I could never. But I don't think it's a. I think. Yes, that's a terrible thing. And yes, the policeman should be taken off duty, lose his job and charged with murder. But I don't think it's a reason to destroy a city.
No, here's a point I'm going to get to. If you say that the Dracos or the reptilian, the bad reptilians or whatever,
yeah,
those who want
the
to be in control.
Draconians,
okay. Yeah. Right. Why is the Galactic Command allowing that to happen? I don't understand that. They have more sway, more power, more decision making than the Dracos.
Why is who allowing it to happen?
The Galactic Command. I mean, there is a Galactic Command.
The Galactic Command, absolutely. Well,
okay, why?
Because first, remember the rule is that you're not supposed to be. Nobody is supposed to be interfering with other people. And secondly, right, you don't want to take away free will. Look, this is really important. People have the right to exercise free will. Right now, what I'm saying is the way they are exercising their free will with all this chaos and upheaval, social upheaval, and extreme left-wing thinking, that is the exercise of their free will. But by doing that, they are opening the door and putting out the red carpet for the takeover by probably the most evil beings on this planet or associated with this planet.
But wouldn't that contradict what the Galactic Command would want to happen, the Anunnaki
would
want
yes,
to have.
Oh, yes, it would. It absolutely would. It absolutely does contradict. But are they going to come in and stop it? No, they are not.
They're going to let it get, like in Germany, they're going to let the 6 million Jews be slaughtered.
Well, let's not get into that. There weren't million Jews in Europe.
Okay.
So let's not get into that.
Okay.
But were they going to allow them to be slaughtered? Does humans do what they do? It's like you have a child, right? And the child keeps having tantrums because it can't go out to play, right? So it gets a little older and you say, okay, you're old enough now to choose for yourself. I'm not going to keep you in. If you want to go out, it's your free will. But I am telling you, if you go out there, you're going to get in trouble because whatever the reason, right? So the child goes out because it's determined to do its own thing. And you have to allow it. You have to allow the child to learn from his experiences. Well, that's what's happening with humanity. We are supposed to be learning from our experiences, but sadly, we're not. You know, sometimes...
They don't understand there's a bigger force. They don't understand the Dracos. They don't understand the Illuminati. They don't understand the 300 people who run the whole world. They don't understand. They don't understand that's really happening.
I agree with you. And that's what this planet is about.
But if you tell them that Operation Paperclip was bringing those German industrialists, the scientists, the brain power over here to take over all the industries that they have, right? Be it here or be it in Antarctica, they're here. They wouldn't even believe you.
I know. You see, that's the exercise of their free will. What they are choosing. Human beings have had the right about 4,000 years ago, about 4 to 5,000 years ago, right? When humans had intelligent Homo sapiens had been educated, and it was a process that had taken 30 odd thousand years, right, of teaching and nurturing and developing and building, right, so that you had an intelligent, capable, thinking number of people, large number of people all over the planet. You now had groups of human beings on this planet who were Homo sapiens and who had been taught what they needed to know to survive for themselves, to build their cities and run their governments and their lives. And then they said, okay, you don't want us here anymore. You want to do it your own way. We understand that. This is your planet. Here's kingship, Mount of David, Jerusalem, right? Here's kingship. Hand it over. We're going off planet now. We will leave someone, this king, he'll be able to contact us if you need help, if we can assist you in any way. Just call on us and we'll do what we can, but we're gone, right? We're handing it over to you. And so human beings from that time on have had the right to run their planet the way they wanted to. Where we're at now is the accumulative effect of 4 to 5,000 years of Earth human management of the planet, reflecting their choices. You know, it's the way Buddhists say it. Everything that ever happens to us is our own choice. It's always as a result of our decisions. Always. There are no excuses. What happens to us is a result of our choices. Now, what people, I understand, do not sometimes grasp, and certainly religion tells them quite the opposite of what I'm going to say now, but I'm still going to say it. Reincarnation is a process by which we live, we have experiences, we die, we go off the planet, we spend time reviewing those experiences and hopefully gaining wisdom from them, and then we come back and we have another go at life, a fresh start, and that repeats itself over and over and over again. Time and again, we have a new life. And the energy of that life builds our soul, builds what we are inside from time to time to time, right? And so what you are seeing now in any individual that you look at, and look at the way, just look around you and look at the people around you and look at the way they're choosing to live their lives, right? And then what kind of person they are, what kind of personality they have, how they treat other people, how they treat their children and their pets and their families and their neighbors, how they live in their community. Because what you are seeing is an accumulation of thousands of years in each individual of experiences before the cycle ends, and this is the last time for this cycle. The cycle ends in a few short years. So you're seeing an accumulation of all those lifetimes manifesting itself in that individual today. So, yes, we have got a huge upsurge in social consciousness. What we haven't got and what we are not seeing is the wisdom to work out how to achieve the things that we need to achieve by peaceful means. That's the big problem. And it's a problem because, as well as having social consciousness, they're not coming so much from a place, many of them, of conscience as rights. And that I, you know, that hashtag me movement was a demonstration of that. They're thinking about themselves. I want my rights. I want what belongs to me. I should have this. I should have that. I should. It's all I, me, me, me. Not service to others. And this comes all the way from the top. And we're also manifesting the most powerfully evil people on the planet that we have seen in a very long time. You know, the world thought Hitler was evil. Well, we can look at our own industrial complex at the top echelons of our rulership, and you're looking at people who were just as bad as Hitler ever was. And I remember what he did, and I was bombed out of my home 3 times as a child, and I know what it's like to see evil manifesting itself. But I'm telling you, we have people running our lives in this world today who are insidiously more, their evil is more insidious even than Hitler.
What do you think this is all going to take us? I mean, the people in the streets, I just want to step back a year or two. The Egyptian god of knowledge was Osiris, right? And he ruled Egypt and established a great civilization. He was an alien, right? Yes, yes.
Osiris was one of the pharaohs that came at a later date, and he had probably still maintained good extraterrestrial connections. Yes.
Okay. All right. So he, because of his wisdom, his direction, his caring, he established a great civilization. Can we say yes? Yes or no?
No. He didn't establish it. I mean, he was one of the great pharaohs in time, but Egypt was established, essentially established right after Atlantis.
Okay, I see.
After Atlantis fell, the Egyptian civilization was first established. It was called the land of Khmer. I think Khmer was what Egypt was originally called. And the people, the Egyptian people, and that was pre-flood. That was a long time ago. But certainly at the time of Osiris, he was a great pharaoh, and he was also connected extraterrestrially, yes.
Okay. So don't we have Caliber here to guide and direct and help us to get to the next level of being rational, of being logical, of devising ways that we can solve our difficulties or challenges peacefully? Don't we have those people around? No?
No, I don't think so. Not
today.
Don't think
so?
I mean, we might have a few here and there, but if we do, nobody's listening to them. And they're certainly not in positions of power. I mean, can you think of one world leader at this moment in time who... puts his country or his people even before his own political position? I can't.
I haven't seen one yet.
No.
Maybe.
No.
Do you think Martin would have been that kind of person had he been elected to office? I don't know. Because
Martin Luther King.
Yes.
Is that who you're speaking of? Yes, I liked him.
Right.
I thought he was a great man.
The phrase is that power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. Is that true?
That's
that once
true.
Once a person realizes that he or she is on the throne, it changes that person, would you say?
Yes, it does today. It's not supposed to.
It's not supposed to.
Positions of power, well, kingship, rulership, ideally, is the highest position of service that you can have. The king or the monarch, the ruler, is supposed to be in service, and all his choices, his personal choices, take second place, theoretically, to what is needed for his people, for his country, for, you know, whoever he's responsible for. That is the ideal of rulership, the ideal of kingship. That is what was given to this planet in the first place, to humans in the first place, was that ideal of monarchy. But it's no longer, it hasn't been like that for thousands of years now, because power corrupts.
Okay. Do you think the Anunnaki can step in and rectify the situation a bit or two in the next 10 years? Let me say this, because 2025 is upon us. Now, at that time, what's going to happen? 2025.
Well, a lot of people are phoning me. I've had several phone calls recently from well-respected seers, clairvoyants, whatever. Right, and they've been telling me that they are getting information that 2020 is going to be the year, that this, the end of this year, is when the climax will occur. Now, nobody has told me that personally. I have not been given that information. So far as I'm concerned, it's 2025 still, and I think maybe I'm open to the date changing. You know, I mean, 5 years in cosmic terms is not even a drop in the bucket, right? But
true.
It's so I'm always amenable to time changing, because it's a sequence of events which occurs, and they're giving me different stories and different information, a piece of information. So I'm open to that idea, but I think possibly what they are looking at is stage one, which are the first great upheaval and social change, which will be catastrophic. It will look good when it starts out. It will, you know, they say, yeah, it looks good on paper, but wait till you try and make it work, right? So I think we're going to see a lot of social upheaval and chaos, which will degenerate into even more social unrest, disease. We're certainly going to see more of these nasty viruses, whether they are weaponized ones or natural ones occurring. I don't think it makes any difference. We're going to see a lot more biological problems hitting us. And I think that this whole COVID-19 thing has been a government, one world order government trial run to see how obedient the world population will be. You know, they told them, leave your jobs, go home, shut yourselves in your houses, and close the doors. And the whole world did it. Talk about planetary control. I mean, that was long before the disease had spread anywhere to any great extent. They just, Now it's spreading, despite all their things, it's spreading, and it's going to get worse, right?
Okay, so
I think in the fall we're going to see more biological problems, we're going to see more social unrest, and by next year we're going to see some pretty severe economic disaster going on. I'm also very concerned that this winter there are going to be real food shortages. Even in America, we're going to see food shortages, not just the third world countries, but right here at home. And I'm begging everybody, you know, even if you've got $50 saved up somewhere, go out and buy food. I'm not saying, you know, don't be a hoarder, but use common sense, because otherwise you're going to be even more under the government's control if you're dependent upon government handouts even to keep you from starving. This might be sounding a bit extreme, but I honestly think this is what we're headed into over this next 12 months or so. But by the time we get to the end of 2025, we're at the end of a 50,000-year cycle for the planet, geologically, and we're at the end of about a 500,000-year cycle for our quadrant of the universe, our solar system. And by then, the problems that humanity are facing could be very severe, like a mini ice age moving in on us, with extreme temperatures in different parts of the planet. I'm not sure that we'll have a polar shift, but we could certainly see a lot more geological upheaval, chaos, and disturbance that will, in a way, serve to quiet the population down a bit because they'll be so busy staying alive, they won't have the energy to be doing quite so much protesting. But it's very possible that if this upheaval continues, that we are going to see war situations, major war situations developing as well. This next 3 or 4 years are going to be pretty intense, and they're not going to improve very much because they're not designed to. In a bigger picture sense, this period in history is the final testing ground for every individual human being on the planet. This is their chance to say, what do you believe? Do you believe right? And do you believe, for example, that, you know, things are right, that might is not right, right? You know, that old thing used to be might is right. Well, might is not right. Might is almost never right, right? And right now we're moving in these worsening conditions for individuals to have a chance to really look at their world and say, is this what I want to leave for my children, for my grandchildren? Is this my legacy, that I, this garbage pit that we're living in right now, worldwide, with all the injustices, all the lying, all the cheating, everything that is so rotten with our society at the moment, is this what I really want to leave as my legacy? And so it's an opportunity to see the truth, to see what's really going on in the world, not just focus on one thing, on one issue that's not right, right? But on all the things. It's almost hard. I don't know about you, Russell, but for me, it's almost hard to point to anything and say, but this is right. You know, you can say, well, this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong, but this is right. Somebody is doing something right. Well, it's really hard to find those things that are right right now. To think about them. There's almost nothing that you think about where it's right. You get, for every bad, unpleasant piece of news going out there, going viral on the web or whatever it is they do on these, you know, social media things, it's all so much bad stuff. And maybe once in a while, you get a really nice little story about some kind person who's done something. I don't know, there was a little thing on the news the other day about somebody had trapped a bear cub because it had put its head in a glass jar and it couldn't get it out. And they captured this bear cub to get its head out of this glass jar for it, right? A cute little story, but a story about kindness, about concern for the animal, or about, you know, just kindness. We need kindness. We need consideration of other people. And this is the time, folks out there, this is the time you're choosing. It's your free will. It's your choice. And you can choose how you want to be. Because one way or another, the cycle is changing. You're going to be on one side of the change or the other. The cycle will come to an end and a new one begins.
Okay.
That new one is a new playing field.
Oh, assuming 2025 is right around the corner. What happens after 2025 then? What happens when the new cycle begins?
What we are already getting is an input of energy from the central core. Every so many millennia, there is this huge insurgence of energy, like a light. It's really an infusion of light. It's like filling the fuel tank in the car. Every now and then you have to go to the gas station and fill the fuel tank. Well, every now and then the universe has to pour out massive amounts of pure light energy from its central core in order to keep the universe ticking along, right? And when this happens, it brings a different vibratory frequencies with it, which give people the opportunity to take in that light and change, move forward. It's like a door opening, kind of like with the analogy, you put the gas in the tank and then the car runs better for it. right? Well, if your car's an old wreck and you've let water get in your tank, no matter how much gas you put in, the thing's not going to run right, right?
True,
because
true.
You have not done you've not done the maintenance you should have done on your vehicle, right? But for those who've done the maintenance on their vehicle, meaning their minds, bodies, and spirits, which is the vehicle they're driving around in, their body, right? Those who've done the maintenance on their vehicle, they can take in that new gasoline in the form of light. They can absorb this new frequency. And when the shift occurs, they will have the opportunity to move into a different form of living, a transcended form. Now, exactly how that will be, I don't know. I have, as a seer, I have been taken out of body by spirit on two or three occasions in my life and shown, like looking through a glass window, what the next dimensional level would be like. But it's nothing that I could describe. It's nothing that I could describe because you're actually manifesting what you think about, right? Your thoughts are instantaneous manifestation. So those people who have been thinking right thinking, right, are absorbing this light that's coming in with this new frequency, and that is going to enable them as the new cycle begins to, if you like, visualize themselves or see for themselves or move themselves into a more desirable situation for a continuing experience of life, but different. It's still life, but it's different, right? Now, those who haven't bothered, the light is still hitting their broken down vehicles that they haven't been spiritually taken care of, right? And so they are still getting hit with that light, but it's driving them crazy. It's confusing them, it's irritating them, and that is also a big contributor to the violence that has been experienced. It's making them more violent, I'm sure, because it's like a brain irritation because they are not prepared to absorb the light. So it's aggravating them. It's, you know, like when you get an itch and you can't scratch it. The energy is hitting them, the frequency is hitting them, but they can't deal with it. So they will just be left to continue with the chaos that they are creating. And that chaos here will get worse, not better.
Okay. This planet has seen chaos before, whether you talk about
yes.
Atlantis or you talk about Lemuria or whatever you talk about.
Yeah.
So here we are once again. We're back.
Yeah.
In the United States specifically, we've seen a civil war where 700,000 people were killed, not including those who were just maimed, but 700,000 lost their lives for that war that they were fighting, the North against the South. Do you see something like that coming again here?
Oh,
America?
I think it could. I think we could very, very easily
have
civil upheaval and unrest. Yes. I mean, what are we talking about almost every time we speak about the complaints of the colored people against the white people, right?
Well,
is that
some
not
justification.
An underlying? So now what we're saying, what we are saying is, okay, well, white policemen shoot black people.
But they,
now that's an
people,
assumption across the board. I'm not saying these things don't happen, but what I'm saying is that we're building up to a trigger where we will see the possibility of real out and out racial warfare in this country. And another thing that's coming as well that will very likely erupt will be a massive outbreak again in anti-Semitism. I think that's a very dangerous possibility because of what's going on in the Middle East. You know, right now we are distracted with everything that's going on here at home and with this COVID-19 virus thing. So it's kind of shutting us down a bit and we're not paying attention. But I think there will be massive outcries because right of what's happening in Israel right now. And I have to admit, I'm not up on that news in detail, but I on just the small piece of it, right? The Israelis have already been told by the international community that they can't expand their developments any further, that they can't take any more land off the Palestinians. And there's so much going on in Israel right now, and so much anger, because most of their support has been coming from America, from Christians in America, supporting the Christian groups in Israel. And the Christian groups in Israel have recently been, for whatever reason, getting persecuted. And so there's going to be a lot of resurgence of anti-Semitism. And coupling that with, as disclosures come about, and I think it tells you somewhere in the Bible, and I'm no bibliophile, but I'm sure it says in there, as the end times approach, you know, the truth will be known. Things will come to light. You won't be able to hide it anymore. And sure. One of the things I think that will definitely be coming to light are the names, not just spoken of in the way we all say, oh, the Rothschilds, the Rockefellers, the Bilderbergers. We all throw these words around.
True, true.
But most of us don't actually pinpoint a one of them and see how that one's behavior relates to our personal lives. I mean, most people would not, ordinary people out there, say, well, you know, what are the Rockefellers to do with me? What are the Bill Gates to do with me? But when it becomes public knowledge that, for instance, every computer that Bill Gates gives away has a back door that feeds all its information to a government data bank, people are not going to like that, right?
Right.
I mean, that's,
right.
You know.
But some of that's coming to the surface as we speak.
Well, exactly. These things are starting to come to light. And you can keep trying to bury things for so long, but eventually you run out of, you know, the dirt to bury them with, and it all comes surfacing. And it's now they're getting all this more stuff going on to about Biden, Joe Biden, who's, you know, running for president. And I even heard the other day, and I don't know if there's any veracity to it, but that he was going to put that extreme liberal woman as his running mate, and everybody in the party, had, you know, the people who run the Democratic Party, were going to make sure that he got the nomination with the understanding that by the end of his second year in office, or during his second year in office, he'll step down for health reasons. Right.
Uh-huh.
So that she can, so that she, as vice president, can take over, and then they can run the country. These extreme liberal women who are absolutely out of their minds, and I don't think any of them have a brain between them. But still,
are you talking about Elizabeth Warren?
No, not Elizabeth Warren. That other
Harris,
the other one.
About,
yes,
Kamala Harris, the Senator Harris.
I think that was the one.
The one from California.
From California, yes.
Okay,
I mean,
that
was just something. That was just something I heard on the political grapevine the other day. Whether it comes about or not, I don't know. But you know, they're trying to bury all this stuff about Joe Biden because they're afraid that he won't be able to be made president. And they said, well, no, because we want him as president, this person as his running mate, and then he's not going to do even 2 years, and she'll be able to take over.
Okay,
and then that's when she will bring in all these extreme liberal policies, which he at the moment is able to water down, right?
Yeah.
You know, he can stand there and no, no, I'd never do that, because he knows he won't, because he wouldn't be long enough to do it, right?
Right,
but,
right.
But I mean, the corruption.
All right, well, let's look at the hybrids. What are they going to do, the hybrids, the ones that are being mixed with alien and human beings? What are they about to do?
I don't know what they're going to do with them all.
Oh,
I honestly don't.
Okay.
I would think
right.
that they would have, I think they will give them you know, positions in future government. But here's something we haven't touched on, and I would like to ask what you think about it, what your opinion is. I'm not sure what to think. You remember I told you that I had read that Dr. Michael Sellars book on Antarctica?
You did,
and
yes,
in
you did.
That, yes, in that book there is a photograph of the Maria Orsic. I think she was Polish or Czechoslovakian, Eastern European anyway, who worked with the Nazis, supposedly, you know, helping them develop the UFOs, right? That she was getting all this technical information from the Pleiadians, right? That was her connection, was with the Pleiadians, and that's how she was feeding all this information to the Nazis. Well, now, apparently, according to Michael Sellar, they all trot off to Antarctica, and one half of the Nazi party, the ones who are holding firm to the Hitler's line of the Aryan supremacy, etc., etc., they were really bad guys, right? They are working with the Draconians, and the Nazi party people, the Germans who were members or are members of the Nazi party, still want to see Aryan white race supremacy, right? But are calling themselves the good guys. They don't want to have, you know, they don't want to do it and be bad. They reckon they want to do it and be good, right? How you compromise that, I don't know, but that's what they're saying, right? And this Maria Orsic is supposedly working with them and the Pleiadians in Antarctica. Now, in that book of Michael Sellars, there was a photograph of this Maria. And somebody, I forget who, but somebody took that photograph to Switzerland, to Billy Meyer, and showed it to Billy Meyer and said, have you seen this person before? And he immediately said, yes, that's Semyasi.
Okay.
Now, Semyasi is supposedly a Pleiadian, and she is the one instrumental in giving Billy Meyer all the information in his contact notes. She was his main feed, his main contact, him and the tall blonde extraterrestrial who was not named, but who named himself to George as Quetzal. And he was the one who asked George to publish those books.
Mm-hmm,
and when they pointed out to Billy Meyer, well, I don't know that they ever disclosed to him, you know, the truth. I don't know about that. But Michael Sellar continues with the information in his book saying that when interviewed, this Maria Orsic and this German guy admitted that, yes, this is who we are, but we pretend to be extraterrestrials so that people will take notice and do what we ask them to do, right? Now, my question to you would be based on this. To me, a lie is a lie is a lie. And when somebody lies, you can never trust them because you can never know when they're telling the truth, right? If they
lie
about one thing, they'll lie about something else. And these are the Pleiadians who are supposed to be the Nordics. You know, they call them the Nordics. The extra UFO people call them the Nordics. The tall, blonde, blue-eyed extraterrestrials from the Pleiades, right? And they are supposed to be all sweetness and light here to help humanity. That's always been the story that's gone out about the Pleiadians. They're here to help humanity. Well, now, my question to you is, do you think they are here to help, or do you think they're using a backdoor way to take over our planet?
Well, it's
because
difficult.
I think...
Go ahead. You think they're using a backdoor way to take over? But couldn't they just step in and take over if they wanted to? They have the technology. They have the wherewithal to do that. They have telepathy, remote viewing. They have everything they need to take over whenever they get ready.
Right. Well, but what I'm saying is that the Draconian people have, although we don't see it, they have effectively already taken over. If they're in control of all our industrial military complex and they have that control in every big nation worldwide, they've pretty well taken over. And the Pleiadians are coming out and saying, well, you know, we are wanting to save you. We're wanting to help you. We're wanting to be the good guys and preserve you with love and light. But actually, they do have the technology, but they're not going to use military force to take us over. What would be the point? No, nobody would cooperate with them. But what they have done, pretty damn smart. They have got George to print all those books for them, and sure, those little handbooks have gone worldwide. They're all, even in China now, they're printing and publishing those books. Almost every country, somebody has taken those books, downloaded them, is printing them, and they're going out there. They literally have groups worldwide. And I said to George years ago, right, you know, when we were talking about the books one time, and he was kind of trying to tell me that I didn't understand it. And I said, well, I think I do, George. I said, I've read these books. And I said, it's very clear to me. And I said, I don't object to the idea, because I understand that in order to run a planet, you have to have a civil service. You have to have order. It can't be everybody for themselves, right? You have to either have rules and regulations and the way to run things. There has to be a civil service to carry out whatever the government's wishes are. And I said, what these books do, and this was my opinion of them and always was, what the books do, I believe, is they have created a global new civil service with a mindset that matches with the Pleiadians, because this information came from the Pleiadians. That's where it came from. Right? So now I find out that they were liars, that this girl who was presenting herself for more than 20 years in the contacts with Billy Meyer was presenting herself as this person, Semyasi, and giving him all these experiences with this, you know, the UFOs and everything they were building, right? But told him that, yeah, her name was Semyasi, and fed him all this information over that long period of time. Right? And it was a lie.
Okay.
You obviously can't trust the Pleiadians.
Well, listen, for the people who don't know what you're talking about, they can always go to www.nohoax.com and download some of that stuff and look at it, you know, so they can catch up
and
with you.
And they can download the handbooks. You know, it's called the Handbook for the New Paradigm, and there are actually three little books. There's the Handbook for the New Paradigm, Becoming, and something, The Rainbow. Rainbow and Becoming, three little books, and they can all be downloaded. As far as I know, I think you can still download them on the website. And then they can read and judge for themselves. What they think is. But that was always my take on those books, and now it concerns me. I can't decide what to think, but obviously the Pleiadians, because there are extraterrestrial Pleiadians interacting, they would put out their message through Earth humans who were lying, that doesn't sit well with me.
Okay, listen.
It doesn't sit well with me at all.
Okay, here's a big picture. Now, let's just be conservative in what we say. There are at least vastness of the universe. We don't know how many species out there. I mean, but on this planet, coming, visiting here, taking over bodies, shape-shifting, whatever they do, there are at least 50 or 60 different species here. Can we say that? That's conservative.
I would think so. Okay. That's very likely.
All right, so they're all going to be in competition with each other in some form or some fashion.
No.
No.
The vast majority are not. There are very few species who actually are in competition fighting over this planet. Very few. Maybe five or six, right? The rest of them, that you're right in how many come, but the rest of them are just passing through. Here is a learning experience. Just want to see what it's like on a vacation. You know, 100 reasons, but not to take over the planet. And in fact, many of the species, for one thing, most species are much smaller in number, numerically. They've come from places where they have learned sexual discipline, and they don't reproduce like rabbits, and they have small population numbers, and they are true spacefarers, star travelers, if you like. And their journeys are exploratory journeys just to take home information, and their levels of civilization are so way beyond anything that we've imagined on Earth so far, that they wouldn't even want to take over. You know, the idea is that everybody wants to take over this planet. Quite frankly, it's only the reptilians who really want it. And apparently the Pleiadians. And I think the Pleiadians, it's just because they're overpopulated on their own planet, so they think they'll do a bit of taking over here. But it's mostly just the reptilians. Yeah.
But Anunnaki says that we don't want the reptilians to be in charge of this planet. Why?
No, and they won't. Because the reptilians are bad news. I don't even know if this is true or not, and I certainly have to acknowledge that I did not have this. This information is not from my off-planet friends or my own knowledge. This information is directly from Dr. Sala's books. But I understand something I'd never heard of before, that the reptilians are intergalactic slave traders, and that's where the thousands of missing people go every year, that the government allows them to snatch off the planet and sell to other people as slaves in the universe. So
well, they make some
I have
agreements.
No idea if that's true or not.
But didn't Eisenhower make an agreement of that sort?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
Apparently he did. Yes.
For technology.
And it's well documented. It's well documented. You know, I mean, the documentation there. It was just something I had never heard of before. And certainly it's never been within my range of experience. Let's put it that way. But
it's so much out there, though. It's so much. So many different scenarios.
Oh, I know.
I mean, who knows what. Look. We end up, we don't know anything after a while. There's so many pictures. I mean, there's so many twists and turns.
Well, you said something a few minutes ago. You said something about, you're talking about so many things that people have never heard of. And so if I'm talking to you or to anybody, it might seem as if I know an awful lot, right? But in fact, in terms of being an Anunnaki, I'm not even 21 years old yet in Anunnaki terms. I'm a teenager, right? What do I know? Oh. I know next to nothing, right? I don't know anything. Compared to my peers, I know very little, right? I just skimming the surface of knowledge that's out there. And when I read all that Michael Sala's book, it was like, whoa, I didn't know all this. There was nothing I hadn't heard of. But I don't know it. It's not in my experience.
Okay.
And we really only do know things that are in our own experience.
True.
We don't know
them
from somebody else's experience.
But don't the people off planet that you are in contact with and have been for the last 4,000 years, don't they give you some information about what's going on? Yes.
Let me tell you about that. First of all, my information comes from two sources, what the guys have told me and what I personally remember, right? Now, memory can play tricks on all of us, and I've already just told you that in my most recent redevelopment as an Anunnaki, right, I'm only like the equivalent of a 20, 21-year-old Earth person in development.
Okay.
Right, that's
you.
Where I've got to, in development, right?
I'm
about Earth years, about 65,000 years old, right, in Earth years. But in actual development, I'm only like a 20-year-old. I think I'll be 21 next time I go home, right?
Okay.
So Having said that, right, we acquire knowledge all the time, all of us, but we can only know from our own experience. And I've honestly forgotten right now what you asked me. Oh, I know what I was going to tell you. I remember now about how I get this knowledge, right? And you asked me, didn't they tell me? Well, first of all, when I was 22, before I was 23 or 4 years old, from the time I was about 16 to 24, they were feeding me knowledge every single day, either poking me, you might say, in the brain, sticking pins in me so that I remembered things better, or I had a clearer memory of something they wanted me to remember, or they were feeding me new information. Right? And that made me feel pretty important. By the time I was 30, I think I was full of myself, you know, because I'd had so much knowledge given to me. By the time I was 24, I already knew Earth's history all the way up to the end of this cycle, politically, socially, economic, you name it. Anything that's gone on, I already knew about. So I've just been sitting around watching it unfold, right? So by the time I was 30, I thought I was pretty special. And I was in my 40s when I came to America and started doing the work full-time, because before that I'd been nursing. But I started doing the work with the guys, doing the classes in metaphysics and stuff like that, doing readings for people. I started doing it full-time after I got to America. And I was sitting one night, and I asked, I call him David, Ningashid is his name, and I asked him, well, how come I'm so special that you've given me all these experiences? You take me out of body, you do this, you do that. And it had been going on from the day I was born. I had never had a day on my own in my life, except one time when I did something that they didn't like. So I was used to this. It was the normal for me. They would turn up sometimes to tell me something, and I would turn around and say, not right now, I'm watching a movie. Come back at 11 o'clock when the movie's over. I mean, I did that more than once. You wouldn't believe how arrogant I was, right? Because I thought I was special. And then he said to me one day when I asked him, he said, what makes you think you're special? I said, well, all this information, all this knowledge you've given me, you know, I know so much. And he just laughed at me. And he said, you know nothing. He said, you know nothing. He said, wow. All I've been doing is dangling carrots in front of you like a donkey to keep you moving forward, because otherwise you wouldn't do the work we need you to do.
Ooh.
Right? Ooh. So all the knowledge they fed me, all the experiences they took me through, all the out-of-body trips, the on and off spaceships, the visits across the universe, all this wonderful esoteric spiritual experiences that I have been privileged to have in my life and that I took for granted, right? Because I thought I was so special. It was just a carrot in front of a donkey to keep me working. So talk about being put in your place, you know? Now, right now at this point in history, because there is so much going on, right, that they said to me when I went to Idaho, all we want you to do is take care of George for us. We just want you to look out for George and, you know, give him some support and don't tell him anything you know, meaning anything I knew about him, right? Not to tell him anything. I knew. When I saw that photograph in that book, I thought that maybe that's what they were referring to, because I know me. That book was published in 2018. And George died in 2019, as you know. If I had seen that earlier, there's no way that I would have resisted saying, look, George, I told you so. I told you so. I wouldn't have been able to resist. I would have had to say it, which would have been terrible of me. But it is concerning me very much. And the good guys, and for me, the Anunnaki are the good guys always, right? Because at least they've shown historically, they have shown responsibility for the people on this planet. None of the others, The others have all come to get something, but they haven't as yet given anything. The Anunnaki have given a great deal to humanity, including our Homo sapien intelligence and the two of their genes, which give the possibility of immortality to us. And no other species was able to do that. So.
Okay. Now, getting to the close here. George, he finished what he had to do this time around, you think?
Yes, I do. They did tell him. Well, I don't want to say this out loud. No, I'm not going to say what they said. But
is that right?
Yeah. He was pretty well done.
He'd done
all he needed to do. Not all he could have done, but all he needed to do. And they took him out. They took him out. Yeah.
Why? They wanted to give him a rest or what? Why did they take him out?
I'll tell you when it's not on the radio what they said.
Okay.
But I won't say it on the radio.
Okay, not a problem. So he has not been in contact with you in recent days then?
Oh yes. I have.
Oh yes, okay.
He's not talking to me, but he's coming around a lot, and I always know there's something building up because I have one of those old lamps in the living room. And you have to touch it to make it come on. You know them? Do you remember those old lamps from the 80s, 90s?
Yeah.
Well, there's one of those. And it's in a corner where nobody can get near it, right? So it's never, ever used. And George turns that lamp on. Every time he comes around, he puts the lamp on.
Okay.
So my lamp keeps. And he's been around two or three times this last week. So I don't know what's coming down, but... I'm listening. Yes, yeah, something is changing right now as we speak.
I want to wrap it up for the day. But in a couple of minutes here, what would you suggest people do with all the chaos and the turmoil and the confusion and the doubts and the fears and the apprehensions that people have? What would you say they should be doing?
Well, this might sound odd coming from me, but the first thing I would say is start praying. And I sincerely mean that. Pray, right? Pray for light and goodness. Pray for protection from the light. You might say something very simple, nothing to do with any religion. Forget religion. I'm talking about prayer as true communication with the forces of creation, with pure spirit, with pure light. And a really simple prayer when you get up in the morning will be, you know, Lord of light, fill me with light. Lord of life, fill me with light. Grant me the protection of the light and guide me and give spirit permission. Give your guides, your guardian angels, your spirit itself permission to guide your footsteps, to put in front of you those things which you need to know, and then turn your eyes inward. Stop looking out at all that chaos, all the politics, all the upheaval. Just stop doing it. Turn your eyes inward and look at yourself and your immediate family, your immediate surroundings, and say, what can I do today to make this little place better? Whether it's the rooms you live in, the family around you, or your own self, what can you do today to make it better? And it can be the simplest thing. I mean, just every day there's something. And when we are not getting great, magnificent messages from the Almighty, right, can do like I did today, right? What can I do to make my little apartment I've moved into better? Well, I can wash the kitchen floor today. That'll be a good job done. Every day we can find something to make our own life a little better. And put prayer out there. Prayer for, don't be like these silly beauty queens who are, they're going to, you know, pray for peace, right? That's such a generic term because it's who's peace, right? If you want to pray for peace, pray for peace in your own heart. Because if every individual had peace and love in their own heart, we would have peace and world, peace and love in the world. If every person was peaceful and loving, the world would be peaceful and loving. So it really is down to every single individual. Every single individual matters. Don't care what color they are. They all matter. All life matters. And so that's what I think we need to be doing. On a practical, more practical level, I'm also saying take whatever money you've got and buy food. I don't care if you have to put it in boxes under your bed. Buy food. Okay. You're going to be glad you did come winter.
Okay. Great, great. Well, listen, thank you very much. I really appreciate you being. And the people who want to look at more material that George left, that's www.nohoax.com, H-O-A-X.com. Okay. Well, thanks, and I'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Bye.
Okay. Bye-bye now. Have a good one. Okay. Well, next time we do it right here on Blog Talk Radio, and we'll have Julian back again with us. Thanks a lot for listening. And next time we'll talk about more information that will be coming down from the galaxies. Have a good one. Talk to you then.